You're listening to Confessions of a Grieving Mother by Emma's Footprints. Each week, we will be bringing you stories to give you a real look on what families go through after they experience a pregnancy or infant loss. Our goal is to help educate, support, and break the stigma around this topic. Be prepared for tears and laughter as we remember our babies. This is going to be real, raw, and vulnerable, so get your boots on. It's going to be messy. Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to another episode of Confessions of a Grieving Mother. My name is Julie, Gus's mom.
I am Tracy, Emma's mom.
And on the line, we have Alex. Hi, Alex.
Hi, Alex.
Hi.
Whose mama are you?
I am Sky's mom.
Sky's mom. And where are you calling us from?
I'm actually at work right now. I'm on my lunch.
Lunch break.
Yes, lunch break.
Are you in the Erie area or are you?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Another local.
Love that for us. Love that for us.
Did you grow up here?
So I started out growing up in Edinburgh. Yes. And then my parents got divorced. I moved to Mill Creek and I split my time between Edinburgh and Mill Creek the majority of my life.
Did you graduate from GM?
No, I actually graduated from McDowell.
There we go. Another McDowell. Yay. I'm a GM girl and Julie's a McDowell girl. So.
My brother graduated from GM. So
oh, there we go.
We got that.
Split family.
Love that. What year did you graduate?
2015.
Okay.
Yeah.
2015.
That feels crazy. Like forever ago.
Mm. I won't tell you when I graduated. Okay. That makes me ancient.
Mm-hmm, that does. You have dust on your shoulders, Tracy.
Thank you. I look good. So are you married?
Yes, I am.
Okay. What's your husband's name?
His name's Dave.
Where did we meet?
We actually met, a few years ago. We both worked at Mill Creek Community Hospital.
Oh, okay.
He did the law enforcement side there. I worked on the mental health units, and he was seeing somebody then. I was, you know, in a relationship then, so we were just friends for a while. And then a year ago, oh gosh, it's been a little over a year ago, we both were single, and we just happened to reconnect, and we clicked, and we got married this July.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah,
that's exciting.
Yeah. It was very exciting. We just did it in our front yard. It was very small. Oh. So it was very nice, very calm and relaxing, and it's what we needed.
Yeah.
Not stressful.
Yes, very low stress, and I loved it.
Yeah. It's good for those big life events.
Yes.
It is. It's
peaceful and, yeah, less stress. And you two have a 2-year-old together?
So my 2-year-old is from a previous relationship, but her, bio father is not in the picture. So my husband has taken on the role of dad. Aww. And she calls him dad. She did it all on her own. No one ever pressured her, nothing. She just picked it up and that's been dad ever since.
Oh, I love that. That makes my heart happy.
Yeah. And they have such a great relationship. Like you would never guess that wasn't her bio dad. They are best friends and it's adorable.
I love that. How was that pregnancy for you?
That was, my first pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't told, but apparently I had an excess, amniotic fluid.
Oh, wow.
But they didn't catch it until the very end. I had a scheduled induction 2 days after 4th of July. That was awesome. And when they broke my water, it just kept going and going. And my mom and I joke about it because she was in the room with me and you could hear it dripping off of the hospital bed.
Oh my gosh.
That is how much I had. Yeah.
They didn't pick that up during a sono?
No, they never picked it up. And and again, no one had told me that you're supposed to increase your water intake while pregnant, by a lot. And, you know, no one had ever addressed that with me. I guess some doctors just think you're supposed to know. And I didn't. So I almost sent myself into preterm labor with her. Wow. I didn't feel her kicking for a while. My stomach was really hard. So I left my job early and went to the hospital, and they're like, yeah, you're having contractions. And I'm like, what? I'm like, I'm only 32 weeks at this point. I was like, no, I can't be doing that. So they got it all under control, got me back hydrated. The contractions stopped, everything went back to normal. And I ended up delivering her at 39 weeks and I think 4 days. She was happy, healthy, 8 pounds, screaming, lots of hair, and she is super smart. Such a cool kid at 2, and she's very smart, and loves to just talk to people.
Yeah. That age, I know it's very difficult and hard, but there's so many things happening. They're developing their, you know, the language and sentences.
Yes.
And independence and you know, there's a lot of big things.
She's very independent. Oh Lord, she's such an independent child. It's awesome.
I'd like to call that leadership.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Let's train her up to be a leader.
There you go.
I think she's going to be. She's very independent, and I do for everything. And I'm like, okay, you want to try it? I'm not going to stop you. I'm going to give you your independent and let you go. So.
How old was she cool when you reconnected with Dave?
She was 13 months.
Okay.
She was just a little bit over a year. And it's like they, you know, knew each other from the start. She was so comfortable with him and just got along with him great. It was one of those like heartfelt moments where you're like, okay, like now I see why I was dealt the cards I was dealt.
Yeah.
Why everything happened for a reason. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, now I see it. So
yeah, settling into that.
Yes.
So how did you find out you were pregnant for the second time?
I actually, I had COVID when I found out. Both my husband and I had COVID at the same time. It was during our week that we were out of work, and I was like, something else doesn't feel right. I'm like, this can't be just COVID. I was like, something else isn't setting good with
me. Were you feeling like nauseous, or was it just your gut was telling you something was off?
Yeah, my gut was telling me, and then I was just so tired. Like overly tired.
You're like, this is like a pregnancy tired.
I was like, this is not COVID tired.
Yeah.
Because at the beginning of the week, I was fine. We were doing things around our house, you know, just like up and moving. And then towards the end of the week, I was like, oh, I'm so tired. I was like, I don't want to move. Like, this, something's not right. So sure enough, took a pregnancy test, and there it was. And he just looked at me, I looked at him, I was like, all right, then, well, now we know why I'm so tired. You know, called the doctor shortly after, because it was like a Friday night when I found out. Called the doctor that Monday, and then got in kind of a couple weeks after.
Did you kind of roughly know like how far along you were, or were you just?
No, I didn't. Yeah. I should have paid attention, but I didn't.
Yeah.
And I was just going off of them. And then so our first appointment rolls around, and they did it where they did a sonogram. This was February.
Okay, of 23.
Yes, February 23. Went to the first appointment. They started out with a sonogram, and that's where my gut hit me. And my gut's like, something's not right. I'm like, I've, you know, of course, had a healthy pregnancy where the first sonogram was awesome. You know, everything was measuring on time. Heartbeat was great. I go in there, and they're telling me, we think your dates of your last period is off, but you're off by like a week or week and a half. And I'm like, no, I know when that happened last. Trust me, I knew when that happened last. So, and they're like, well, then they're like, well, let's just check the heart rate. And they told me it was 100 and then it dropped down to 99. And that's when my gut just hit me and went, this isn't going to end well. And I knew it. It's just that mom.
Could you see anything on the screen?
Oh yeah. You could see, about like a 7 weeks gestation.
Okay.
Baby. But it was just that heart rate that wasn't sitting well with me. And I was like, something like, this isn't going to end well. Something's not right. And sure enough, I was correct. And my husband's like, I am never doubting you again. He's like, when you say something's not right, I'm holding you to it. And you know what you're talking about.
So you left that appointment kind of feeling like what? Because at this point, you have a viable pregnancy. There is a heartbeat detected. And they probably are like, we'll see you back here in a couple weeks.
Yeah. Where so they tried to push me out to that next, like, 4 week mark. And I was like, no. I stood my ground and I was like, that heart rate is not sitting well with me. I'm like, I would like to come back. Like, kind of begged, but stood my ground and was kind of firm with them. And the doctors are like, okay.
Yeah. Did you do some Googling to know that the heart rate was like not? Because, like, to me, right? I'm like, my brain would be like, well, there's a heart rate. I don't know. Right. You know, like, yeah. I mean,
I'm like, la la la, next task.
Yeah. Like,
right.
There weren't any other. Yeah. And you hadn't experienced the loss prior. It's almost like, well, I mean, you know, I know a mother's intuition is really truly a thing. So I 100% get that. Just didn't know if there was any other like fetid information that you were receiving somewhere.
No, I just remember telling my husband and he did some Googling, but I didn't find out about it until after the fact.
Yeah.
That he did some Googling and then I was having really bad back pain.
Okay.
Like, and I have a, not to toot my own horn, but I have a pretty good pain tolerance.
Go ahead, girl. Toot, toot. Yeah.
Like, I have a pretty good pain tolerance.
Yeah.
And just, it was hurting super bad. No upfront cramping, just all in my back.
Yeah.
And my husband's like, well, I Googled and that kind of was one of the signs. And I was like, you couldn't have told me. Like, but he kept it to himself. And he was like, I was trying to spare you. And I'm like, don't. Uh-huh. I'm like, I know you were trying to spare my feelings, but it would have been better.
Did they do blood work at that first appointment?
Yeah, they did all like the normal, quote unquote, normal things. They did the sauna. I talked with the doctor, talked with like the nurse about like our medical history. And then, you know, we went on our merry little way.
And you probably got the bag that says everything about what you're going to experience.
Yes.
Which, like, let's just talk about that for a second. I have this like
What's
strong
in that bag. We need one.
I have a strong opinion about that bag.
Yes.
And I don't think that that bag should be given at your first appointment.
No, I feel like that bag should hold off.
Yeah, like it needs to be, first of all, the stuff that's in it, nobody really goes over it with you. So it's like up to you as a responsible, quote unquote, adult to read these packets about pregnancy and vaccines that you need to receive during pregnancy and what your baby could have and all of these things, right? But like, let's just be honest, you take that bag and you're like, yay, I'm pregnant. And then you walk away. So problem number one, problem number two is that you're giving me this bag. I remember specifically when I was pregnant with Gus, I had some hiccups at the beginning. And so I was like, how do I even know if I'm still pregnant? And you gave me this bag. Like,
there's no information about loss or anything other than
you're
pregnant.
No. Right. And so it's just like, I don't know. I feel like it's a little
revamp the bag.
It's going to be 2024. Can we like talk about maybe giving the bag later on? So
yes. Like, well, and they gave me the drink, the glucose drink.
At that
at
point.
My first, yes. At my first appointment, they, even with my daughter too, back in,
like, you are responsible and you need to put this in a safe space. So in 20 weeks from now, 20 weeks from now, we're going to drink this.
Yes. Yep. That's literally what they told me was, put it in the back of your refrigerator and we'll tell you what appointment to come and drink that at. And I'm like, wait, you want me to do what?
Yeah.
I'm not going to remember that.
The planning aspect of that. Sure. But
yes,
we can do better. Because then I'm like circling back. If you experience a loss, maybe the bag that we're handed is something different and is like a loss geared bag and what to do and what your next steps are and how to get resources. Like it's different, right? I don't know. That's just my personal opinion.
Add that to our to-do list, Julie, for 2020.
Yes.
I know. I just think
it's like a bag of hope.
Right.
Like you're getting it at your first, at your first appointment. And I remember telling my husband, throw it away. Throw it all away. I don't want to see it. Like you'll get home before I do. Throw that drink away. If you want to taste it, go for it. Yeah. But just throw it all away. I don't want to see it. Aww. And he did, you know. Very thankful for him. He threw it all away and even took that garbage bag out to the garbage. So it wasn't even in the house.
Yeet nothing. That in the dumpster. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with more of Alex's story. When the unthinkable happens, the loss of a child through miscarriage, stillbirth, or infant death up until the baby is 12 months old, Emma's Footprints is here to walk families through their grief journey. We provide financial support for funeral costs, as well as emotional support through group meetings and one-on-one connections with our care team. Our goal is to sustain lost parents and their families through the fog of grief and care for them in every stage of healing and hope after loss. For more information about our mission, head to our website at www.emmasfootprints.com.
Okay, we're back. Okay, so Alex, you were handed you called it the bag of hope that you then threw out. And you said you fought for getting in sooner than 4 weeks. How much sooner were you able to get in with the doctor?
I was able to compromise 2 weeks.
Okay.
So I had to wait 2 weeks. And that appointment, I was kind of like psyching myself out. I was like, everything's going to be fine. You know, I'm just reading too much into this.
Were you still having the back pain in those 2 weeks?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I was still having the back pain. Yeah, it was rather constant. And then tried to live life, you know, as normal as possible. And then I went to this appointment by myself and it was just a sonogram. That's all they had me scheduled for. Mm-hmm. And I remember the poor tech's face. She just looked at me and she barely got out. There's no. And I'm like, please don't say the rest. I'm like, I already know where you're going with this. And she's like, I have to, like, we legally have to tell you, you know, like there's no heartbeat. And I said, okay. She's like, do you need a minute? I'm like, yes. She's like, take a couple minutes. I'm going to go find a doctor, a PA, somebody to talk to you. And I'm like, okay. So as I'm sitting there in the sonogram room, I'm making, you know, phone calls to my husband, who is currently at his job. He's in law enforcement. So he's at work trying to, you know, I'm not saying he has to be tough, but he has to be tough.
Right.
And he broke down in his office and everybody just told him, go, like, go do what you need to do. We were having a work Christmas party, or like a potluck. And I went there and just tried to like hold it together, got food and then just kind of left. I already told everybody, hey, I'll be there. And then
the same day as receiving that news.
Yes. I was trying to be as tough as I could, but hindsight, I shouldn't have done that.
Can you explain that? Why do we do that? What does that mean you know what I mean?
Don't know why I decided to tough it out, put on this brave face and go do what I needed to do. And then, you know, walk out and, you know, cry later and cried, you know, the whole way home. And
what were the next steps that the doctor's office gave you?
So the doctor's office, the nice PA came in and was like, you know, we talked to your doctor. They're recommending a DNC. I'm like, well, what is that? I've heard of it, but I don't, like, what is it? And the PA was like, well, we do it right here in the office. And I was like, okay, like, can I get more information? She's like, well, the scheduler will go over it with you. So I get shoved into another room. I asked the scheduler, I'm like, so I come back here? And they're like, oh, no, you go to the hospital. I'm like, okay, so this is a surgical procedure. I'm like, can someone, like, explain, like, what is going to happen? Like, what's going on? And she's like, so it's a surgical procedure. They have to go in. I'm like, okay. Well, I'm like, well, nobody knows at this point. We hadn't told any family. I told a few close friends because I work at a veterinary clinic. And, you know, I was around, like, x-ray machines and surgery and all that stuff to where everybody was trying to protect me to not be around any harmful stuff. So I asked them, I'm like, can I push it another week out? They said yes. They scheduled me with a doctor. And then I went in the following week to have the DNC done.
Was your back pain still happening?
It kind of subsided.
How did your body feel? Okay.
I kind of went away a little bit, but nothing to what happened after the DNC.
Mm. What day was was that scheduled for?
The end of February.
Okay.
Was my first DNC. Mm. So show up to the hospital early in the morning. At this time I had no bleeding. You know, my body wasn't taking care of itself. They called it a miscarriage. Okay. I don't like that term at all.
Cancel that.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Don't like that term. And when the doctor came in, he just kept on saying products of conception. Don't like that term either.
Nope.
And the doctor
also,
was...
That's also canceled for 2024.
Yes. The doctor was just very short with us. Wasn't really answering questions. The nurses really answered more questions. They brought us a very nice bag with like a handkerchief in it. A pen. Just like very nice bracelet, like just little stuff.
Did you get an Emma's Footprints brochure?
I did not. Mm-hmm. And so I went back. The doctor came out, told my husband, hey, everything went good, was fine. I woke up, you know, like an hour and a half later, being wheeled up a hallway into a recovery room, and my husband was there. And then about two and a half hours later, I got up and went home.
Mm.
And we thought that was the end of it, but it was not.
I don't like that.
No, did not either. 6 days later, I went back to work trying to do my job. And I started having really bad cramping and I was passing blood clots, huge blood clots.
What kind of, so you have the procedure, what information are you
given
what, you know, when you walk out of the hospital, obviously there's a recovery period and your body is not going to be 100% the next day.
Nope. So they just said, you know, don't lift anything heavy for a while. Wait for your follow-up, to make sure that you're cleared, that your body's, you know, quote unquote back to normal.
When was that follow-up scheduled? How long after the procedure is that?
About four-ish weeks.
Okay.
But
did
I
they
went
say
back
like,
to
hey,
work.
Look for these things. If anything
they did.
Happens,
they said, you know,
weeks.
Look for like fever. If you're passing big clots. Blood clots, you know, just like the typical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they told me if it happened, it would happen like relatively close to when I got the procedure done. The next day after the procedure, I was actually feeling okay. There wasn't much like blood or anything happening. But it was that six day mark where I had all those blood clots.
Yeah.
So I rushed myself to the ER and I go in, my husband again leaves work, comes up here, and we sit and we wait in the ER. And we wait. A few hours went by, and I'm just sitting in their waiting room. They had put an IV in me, but it wasn't hooked up to anything, and I was just waiting.
Mm. Were you in pain from the clots?
I was. I was in pain. I had a lot of cramping. I could feel them, too, as they came out. And I was just sitting there looking at my husband. I'm like, and all we could do was just sit there and try to make each other laugh at this point, and try to get each other through it. And I finally get back to her room. They do an abdominal ultrasound because I wasn't in those 4 weeks yet, and they didn't want to risk doing an internal one.
Right.
And they told me, well, there's still, again, use the word product of conception. Yeah. In there, and we need to remove it. And you have an infection on top of that.
Oh,
so
no.
We'll give you meds for that. So 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah, in order for them to remove it is basically another procedure, right?
Yep. 8 o'clock at night, I get wheeled back into the OR. They asked me when the last time I ate something. Of course, I ate something. Too soon.
On the way to the hospital. Yeah.
Yep. On the way to the hospital, basically. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm starving. I know I'm going to wait a while. I know I'm not going to get food. And so they had to intubate me, unfortunately. But it was only for 5 minutes. And that doctor reassured my husband that she had gotten everything. You know, I didn't have to go back, but yeah, I had to have not one, but two DNCs, and then got told that, oh, we've seen that before. Ugh. It can happen.
But you weren't told that.
Nope.
Prior to experiencing the second.
Nope. Procedure. Was never told that, hey, you know, you might have to have a second one. If things were missed, you know, we go in blind. And things were missed. So, and again, we thought that's where the heartbreak ended, that we could continue healing, but it did not.
Oh, Alex.
I was actually listening to an Emma's podcast. And I believe it was you, Tracy, that said that no matter like the gestational age, you can have your baby buried or cremated or whatever, and nobody told us that. So that's when I asked for my medical records. They sent me all my medical records, and I dug deep into my medical records and found that they had taken, as they put it, the products of conception and had them buried.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And nobody told us that. Mm-hmm. Nobody told us we had the option to. Mm-hmm. And that ripped off a whole Band-Aid. Mm-hmm. And the tears started again. And of course, I was at work when I got the phone call, and the lady at the funeral home said, you're 2 weeks too late. Ugh. That we had already buried everything. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, and she's like, everything's already been put in a vault and buried at a cemetery. And I'm like, well, can I go there? Like, can you give me a location? Like, can I, like, what can I do? Mm-hmm. And she's like, honey, like, give me an hour tops. I promise I will get back to you. I promise I will have answers. And she did. She gave me the location, right down to where Sky's buried in a mass grave with about 29 others. And of course, legally, that's not our plot. So we can't put anything there. We can't do anything to it. And there's no way that I'm ever going to get that back. And I was told that up front by the cemetery people, as I marched right into that office and was like, what's down there? Mm-hmm. Like, what is it? And the guy's like, legally, I can only tell you it's a vault that's sealed. And I said, okay. I'm like, well then. So my husband and I just have to sit with that. And yeah, it's hard. It's hard to go there and not have anything to mark where our child is. It's kind of disturbing. So thankfully that's where our heartbreak ends. And we just have to, we're just taking it day by day now. That's all we can do, and kind of hope that, you know, one day we'll get our rainbow baby. But the doctors think that I might be very scarred from having two procedures done. And they're talking about I might have to have a third to go back in there and remove some scar tissue.
Oh, gosh.
Mm-hmm. So, for insurance purposes, technically, I was told that you have to be a year infertile. So, a year of no conception, you know, which our year will be up in February, where they can do more testing and see if I'm scarred up, and they're thinking maybe a third procedure.
Alex.
Yeah.
That is so heavy.
It's very heavy. And I don't, we don't talk about it much because, again, we hadn't told very many people. But the night that I had to go back in at the end of February and have the second procedure done, my husband and I, we had to call family because my husband's like, it's just you and I, and they're doing this on an emergency basis. Like, you know, we need, I need to know, and your family needs to know. So we did end up, you know, telling our parents. And, you know, I came out of everything good, but now it's just a waiting game.
But the emotional damage is
beyond done.
Yeah, very raw.
Yes. Yeah. Very raw.
When you told your family, how were they supportive? Did they know what to say?
No. They didn't know what to say, and we still, nobody really talks about it. In my family, it's more of a, let's not discuss our problems, and then we'll just get through them. But my husband and I, you know, he's my biggest support system. So him and I, you know, we talk about it all the time. I actually made a Sky Bear, after listening to another Emma's podcast. I believe Rudy, she made a Rudy Bear.
Yeah, Rudy Bear.
I think so. I went and I was like, that's going to help me to physically have something to hold. And so I went and I found this pink bear and a pink, like a blue and pink onesie. Aww. And, you know, filled out the whole birth certificate. And the people at Build-A-Bear were like, okay, we think we know what's going on. We're just going to let her do her thing. And nobody bothered me while I was looking around. They just let me do my thing and paid in silence. And as I'm walking out, the tears just started. And I was like, okay, I just need to get to my car. I cannot do this in our mall.
I know. I
cannot do this in the Mill not Creek the Mill Mall Creek right mall. Now. Yeah, no, not the Mill Creek Mall at this point. So luckily just got to my car, and Sky Bear sits above our bed, and we take turns snuggling with her. It's kind of a fight sometimes. I'm like, no, I want her. And he's like, no, I want her. And I'm like, all right, you can take this turn, but I get the next one. As soon as you put her down, it's my turn. So it helps us.
So many things about that. We need a partnership with Build-A-Bear, Julie.
We do. Yes.
You guys should. I think that'd be a great idea.
Yeah. Like some Emma's Build-A-Bear nights.
Yeah. That would be cool. Awesome. 'Cause I feel like it's a really it is a huge part of healing, just being able to have, I don't want to say like a project, but something to take care of, something to nurture. That's what we're missing. And so, although it may seem silly to others, but like the bear is exactly that. Or, you know, maybe it's not a bear for somebody. Maybe it's a tree they planted. And so they have to take care and nourish and water and watch it grow. Like there's different things that relate for certain people and their babies, but it's so important in the healing process.
Yeah, we have all this. It was.
It helped us a lot.
Yeah. How does your 2-year-old, does she want to hang out with Sky Bear?
She wants to play with Sky Bear, but she's a little rough. She plays rough, and I'm like,
okay, yeah, not today.
Girls, calm down.
Yes. I'm like, ladies, we're not going to rough house with this. So, and she knows, you know, that's like a special bear. So she sees it and she wants to play with it, but she knows, you know, we're not to like roughhouse or take it outside or, you know, stomp on it or whatever emotion she's feeling.
I don't know if we landed on this, but how did you find Emma's footprints?
A coworker of mine, had done like a charity event for you guys, and she told me about that. Told me you guys had podcasts. So I started listening to the podcast, and then I've been to a few support groups. Yeah. Both my husband and I have. Aww. And yeah, I was like, I thank her all the time. I'm like, thank you for telling me about them. I'm like, it's helped a lot, and I don't feel alone. Mm-hmm. At the beginning, I felt very alone. I'm like, I've heard of people having miscarriages before, but until you experience it or someone very close to you experiences it, you don't understand.
Right.
And so I thank her all the time. I'm like, thank you for telling me about them. Like, thank you for pulling up their website and, you know, telling me to go and encouraging me to go. And, you know, it's just it's the club you don't want to belong to. But you do. And started not feeling alone.
I love that. My heart just exploded. That's our goal. That is our goal. So what's your next step on your healing journey for 2024? So you've come to groups. We've done a Sky Bear. What other things have you utilized?
Listened to all the podcasts. Yes, and the podcast. I went down the Amazon rabbit hole of lost like ornaments. And I found a company that hand makes ornaments, and they use the different fruit for like the different weeks that you can get inside of there. And then there's a little heart gemstone on the top, and you can customize it to the month that you want. So we got one of those. We were the size of a blueberry. So there's a glass ball, there's a blueberry, like it looks handmade. And hanging inside the ornament, and then February's gemstone. I think it's amethyst whatever. Yeah, that really helped. I was like, okay. Like visualizing helped me. So that really helped. And my husband's like, I can't wait to put it out this year. And so it's on our little tree. We have two trees. I have a little 3-foot tree that's purple that it goes right on there. So, and it's front and center. So
I love that so much. And I love
that. Yeah, I just stumbled upon it on Amazon. He was super excited. He's like, I like, he's like, if we could keep it out all year, I would. I was like, okay, let's not be those crazy Christmas people. I'm like, let's not be those people.
Okay, let's touch base in 1 year, maybe two.
Yeah, like, let's not be those crazy Christmas people that has everything out all year long.
Just the tree.
But yeah, tree. I love my my 3 foot purple tree. It's cute. It's so compact, and it's my favorite color. My favorite color is purple. And we were planning on doing like an early gender test. And purple was going to be the girl color. Mm-hmm. When we told everybody, because that's my favorite color, and then his favorite color is orange. So purple and orange would have been our colors. So my little purple Christmas tree, I love it. Aww. I don't want anything to ever happen to that tree, or I'm gonna have to get another one. I already told him.
And you can build upon that every year.
Yes.
To do that.
This year I'm looking for another ornament. I haven't settled on one, so I'm trying. Amazon gets me down those rabbit holes and you don't know what to pick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love how there's so many options. That can be overwhelming. I know.
Yes.
In a different arena.
Makes you close the app.
Yeah. I close the app and I'm like, I need a minute because that was too many options for me.
But even, you know, like Emma's loss, you know, 16 and a half years ago, there weren't a lot of options.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there was any. I wasn't on the interwebs looking at that point, but I'm glad people are out there making things. And what a unique idea to do, you know, the fruit of the how big baby sky would be, and thoughtful, you know, the birthstone. So unique and thoughtful.
I was like, this is actually just like, it was perfect. It was just, I found it, you know, maybe two pages in of looking, and I'm like, that one right there is what I need and what I want, and bought it. And Dave was like, okay, I like it. It hits the spot and it does perfect. So yep. Add to cart, buy, send it.
What is,
soon.
If someone that's listening, what's your piece of information that you've learned on this grief journey in 2023? That you would share.
Don't go through it alone. There are so many people out there who have been where you are, no matter what stage you're in. Just don't do it alone. Don't try and tough it out. You know, I tried, my husband tried, and it did not go well. And you need people. Everybody needs somebody to walk beside them, whether it's a friend, a family member, your spouse. You know, spouses grieve differently, and I'm lucky that I had a friend that I work with. She had also had an early term miscarriage, and she knew what I was feeling, and she let me vent to her, and she vented to me, and that's how our friendship started. And we're still, you know, she's my best friend. She was in my wedding. If it wasn't for her and my husband, I don't know. This journey would have been harder than what it already was.
Wow, I am so sorry. This is your story. I'm so sorry for your loss, but I'm so proud of you for being brave and coming on here and sharing Sky with us. And I'm so proud that you've taken our advice from the podcast and that you put it into practice.
Yeah. You do the hard work because it's hard work to do.
And you're here, you're talking about it, you know, you're sharing how hard and dark it was and the heartbreak, but you're sharing the steps that you take. You have to go through the grief. We say that all the time.
Yep.
And you're doing it, and you're here to
skip the grief.
Right. Yeah. No, you can't. And now you're here sharing your experience, and that helps you on your healing journey. And it's going to help somebody else listening to this.
Yes.
Talking about it helps a lot. And thank you guys for letting me share Sky. I don't get to share her often, but when I do, I just go with it and talk about her as much as I can.
Yep. You're a good mama.
Thank you.
Well, thank you again for coming on here, Alex, and sharing little Sky with us. And give that Sky Bear a hug from Auntie Julie and I.
I will.
Yes. Have a peaceful Christmas season. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. And stay tuned next week for another episode of Confessions of a Grieving Mother.